Well, good morning. My name is Nathan. It's good to meet all of you. I wish I could shake all of your hands. It's just a wonderful honor to be invited to be here to share the Word of God with you this morning. You can see from my little bio in the bulletin, I am a PhD student and at the London School of Theology. I live near Gordon-Conwell and I study there, so I have my little office there, and you can imagine me furiously typing at all times in my office there. But I am happy to be here. I am called to be a pastor who preaches the Word of God. I'm also passionate about teaching preachers to be better preachers. So that's why I'm going back to school. I've been in pastoral ministry, but I'm back in school right now. And I'm happy to be here with you all as you are in your time of transition to bring the Word of God to you and to share in it with you today. The Bible is a fascinating book. The mission of my life is to help you understand the Bible and your place in it. Because when we understand the Bible, we understand the world, and then we begin to understand who God is and really who we are. Because you can't understand who you are until you understand who God is. Because you were meant to be loved by God and be in relationship with Him. That's what our text is about today. Our text, if you turn there, if you want to, or it's going to be up on the screen here, of course. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's on page 819 in your pew Bible, 819. And there are some passages in the Bible that actually summarize the whole Bible better than others. I don't know if you realize that, but the Bible is kind of like a subway map. You know, if you look on a subway map, and if you just randomly put your finger down on a subway map, you might get some station that's like in the middle of nowhere, right? And then other stations are like, there's all kinds of stuff going on. You can get on another train. So the Bible's like that. There are some places in the Bible, just a little secret, it's the middle of nowhere, man, okay? And other places, you got Grand Central Station. You can get almost anywhere, okay? They're big summary passages, okay? Our passage today summarizes the whole Bible in a nice little way, okay? Not everything's in there, of course, but a lot of it is. And that's why the title of today's message is The Whole Bible and a Merry Christmas. We just had Christmas. Some of you, you know, we all get hyped up for Christmas, but now it's not the 25th anymore, it's the 29th. So it's kind of died down. All the presents that you wanted, they're still nice, but they're not as nice as they were, right? And so we come again to church, to Scripture, to hear from the Word of God, the whole Bible, and a Merry Christmas. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I will begin reading at verse 17. Hear now the Word of God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how faithful you are to meet us through your word. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Lord, on the cross. And through that power of the cross, we now ask that you would take these words and stick them to us, mold them to us, mold us to them, so that we would truly be your people. Open our ears so that we may hear you speaking, Lord Jesus, today. In your name we pray. Amen. So as is usual in letters that Paul writes, and Paul wrote this letter, Paul is a complex thinker, and so we have some complex things going on, but we're going to make it real simple. Okay, ready? Three things we're going to talk about from this text. The first is new creation. The second is reconciliation. And the third is, you have to stay tuned for that. I'll tell you later, okay? Okay. So 2 hours into the sermon, we'll get to three. The first thing is new creation, okay? So right out of the gate here, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, okay? Now, in the story of the whole Bible, God creates the world, right? You read the Bible, right? Or at least you're familiar with the beginning of the Bible. Yes, God creates the world. Now, in Hebrew, Hebrew is a wonderful language, and I won't bore you too much, but it's just beautiful, because there are many different words for making things, just like in English. Like we could say, hey, I made this lamp, or I could say, I formed it, or I sculpted it, or I created it, or, right? Okay. In Hebrew, there's all kinds of different words, but there's one word in Hebrew that only is something that God can do, okay? So humans make things and God makes things, but there's one word, and it's the word bara. I don't remember. Don't just forget that, right? But in the beginning, when God creates the world, he is bara-ing the world. In other words, this is something that no human can do. Okay, you can make a tree look good and plant it, and God can do that too. But no, God created the tree out of nothing, right? He said, I want a tree there. Boom, there it is. And you and I can't do that. God can actually create things. Bam. So miraculous, it's so God, and so not us, God creates it, okay? Now, this is the word that Paul is talking about when he says, if anybody is in Christ, he is a new, what? Creation. Yes, he doesn't say, hey, if anybody's in Christ, that guy worked really hard and made himself better, did he? Right? No, she went through a lot, but she pulled herself up by her bootstraps, and we're doing better now. No. If you are in Christ, my friend, God has done a miraculous act of creation in you, poof, that you couldn't do yourself. You can't save yourself. You can't make yourself better in a really inside, big, kind of real way. You can improve a lot of things. You should make better decisions. Yes, make good decisions. Live a righteous life. Yes. Nevertheless, if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. There is something qualitatively different about you than there was before you were in Christ. Okay, and a moment ago, I just went poof, okay? I remember that. I did that, right? And sometimes it is like that, okay, right? But a lot of the times it isn't, is it, right? We Presbyterians know this, right? The Baptists are over there going poof all the time, right? Right? We understand, though. We understand the kind of the compound interest thing about walking with Christ. There's this growing sense of God working in our lives over long periods of time where you get to a point and you realize that you've been walking in faith for a long time and you were not who you used to be. And it's not because you did something big and fun, but it's because God has been doing something big and fun in you for a long time and you're living into that, okay? Because there's something bigger than you living on the inside of you. That's what Christianity is all about. Okay, God in his grace and mercy coming inside of us and cleaning us up, making us a new creation. The old has gone away. The new has come. So we all need to hear this, right? Even those of us who have walked with the Lord a long time, right? You're a new creation. God loves you. He is renovating you. He's tearing walls out and putting up new pictures. New creation. And the second thing we get to here in the text is reconciliation. Reconciliation is a big word. Be careful, you can trip over it. A lot of people do trip over reconciliation. The Bible's all about reconciliation, bringing people together and people who don't agree and things like that. And it is, right? That's a secondary outflow of the gospel. Right? But Paul here uses the word reconciliation in a very specific way. And this is what we have to center it on this, right? If you don't get this, you don't understand reconciliation. It's between you and God. You have to be reconciled to God in order for things to be okay. Now, this could be a kind of a jarring realization for some people. And actually, for all of us deep down, there's part of us that thinks, I'm okay with God, right? Everything's fine. Maybe I need to work on some things, right? But and God can make me a new creation there. But deep down, I'm okay with God. What? But when this word reconciliation barges in, we realize something. Because the word reconciliation means that there was a prior relationship, right? That has now been broken, and that now, if you are reconciled, you're going back to what you don't have now, but what you used to have a long time ago, okay? Now, I may have confused you, we have to go to the story of the whole Bible. We have to zoom all the way out. Because in the picture of the whole Bible, you and I, as humans, you know, I'm standing up here, I've got my arms out in this big thing, I'm on a big pulpit, but we're all the same, right? We're all sinners before God. But you and I are descended from human beings, Adam and Eve, who were in perfect relationship with God. Humanity, the Bible says, at the beginning of the Bible, God created us to be with Him. We were created in His image, to do things like He does, to relate to Him, to be in relationship with Him. That's why you were created. God thought of you and me, and He created us after He thought of us and knew everything we would do. He created us to be in relationship with Him, and that relationship has been broken. I might have snuck up on you, but here's the point where I say, you and I are sinners. Right? And for some of us, that should actually be a big relief, right? Because some of us are wondering why our relationships with God aren't going well for so long. Like, why isn't this working? I've been trying to put this together for a long time. And some of us just need to recognize that we are broken, busted up. It's partially our own fault, our own sin, but it's also the fault of what we have inherited, things that have happened to us. We are not in right relationship with God. But reconciliation. This is actually wonderful. In Greek, this word is actually a very specific word, okay? Like today in English, we use the word reconciliation for a lot of things, like, my neighbor and I, we got in a fight over the dog, but now we're reconciled. Like this little thing, right? Or we reconcile our checkbook, or we kind of... No, this is not what this means, okay? In the Greek law courts, and in Rome especially, this word was used when a man and his wife had been not just separated, but divorced. Okay? It's over, right? And it's also very quite specific. It wasn't just that the man threw the wife out, which often would happen, but this is when both of them hate each other, okay? And yet, something happens, and they get back together, and that is what this word means, reconciliation. After there has been animosity, whether we thought it was all over, but God in Christ overcomes all the animosity, Paul says, between God and us, and He brings us back together. How? In Jesus Christ. For those among us who have gone through the pain of divorce, you understand how big that gap is. And the gap between us and God is just as big or bigger, right? And yet, right here, here's the promise. Then this is what we need. We need to be reconciled with God. And He heals us. He takes the initiative to come say, hey, I love you. I am reconciling you to me through Jesus Christ. I'm going to do a new creation in you, through you. That's the gospel. That's the good news. So, we've got first thing we were talking about is new creation. Second thing is reconciliation. And the third thing I told you you'd have to tune back in for, right? We're almost there. If you still want to have a little nap, you can have a little nap before we get to the third. Paul here talks, though, about the ministry of reconciliation. He says it a couple times, right? Verse 19, he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Now, of course, he's talking about himself because he is writing to the Corinthians. But he does use the word us. Now, there's some other guys with Paul who he could be saying, we are telling you, Corinthians, that we have been entrusted with the message of reconciliation. But that actually doesn't really do it justice, right? Because there's more to it than that. Because all Christians have been entrusted with this message, okay? God does all that work in you, and He opens your lips in that process and allows you to share what He has done with other people. Now, you can't share what you don't have. Note. So if you come to points when you feel like, hey, maybe I should tell my neighbor or my coworker about Jesus. I should say something, I don't know, something about God. and you don't, or you continue to have problems there, ask the Lord. Say, Lord, I need you to do in me what I want to share with this person. Don't share other stuff. Don't make up stuff and tell other people about Jesus, you know. Share what he has done in your life. We're really coming down to it, right? God needs to work in your life, and that's exactly what he wants to do, okay? I've read the Bible. You're in this church. I know who you are. God's after you, okay? He wants to do, and he is doing work in your life. And the more you open yourself to him, he will do it. He's faithful. I'm testifying to it. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in the lives of people who I've pastored. I didn't just come up here to kind of play church. I drove a long way up from Peabody, Massachusetts. It's a nice drive. This is a nice church, and I'm glad to be here. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for your witness to the Lord. Thank God, right? But when it really comes down to it, this is about Jesus Christ and his work in the world and in your life. And that brings us to number three. And the point for number three is, listen. Listen. You know, sometimes we come, I've been going to church for my whole life, listening to sermons, good and bad, for a long time. I now apparently have the aspiration to be a preaching professor, which that might sound nice to you, but you should read that. I want to listen to bad sermons a lot, right? A lot of bad sermons, right? Man, that's some stamina, right? But sometimes when we listen to sermons, we listen. Other times, we really listen. So if we're going through something terrible, often God will open our ears a little bit more, and it's like the words will go down deeper, right? I've been through some terribly difficult pain in my life. We all go through difficulty and pain. I haven't been through as much pain as other people, but I've been through some terrible stuff, right? And those times is when God has really opened me to himself and called me to be a pastor. That's how I ended up here, right? So if you're going through pain, look out. You might end up right up here. Right? No, seriously. Let's look at this text, because there's something lurking in the end of this text here that's amazing. Verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Living as you and I do in the 21st century, bombarded by all kinds of messages, text, email, television, movies flying at us like television shows flying at us like crazy. We have a lot of messages coming to us, and as Christians, one of the questions that we often have, at least I do, and I know others in my congregations have, is how do I know when God is actually talking to me? Does he even talk anymore? Well, I know if I read the Bible, he's kind of talking, more than if I'm just thinking about him, I guess, right? We don't really know how to parse that out, right? Okay, I don't know how to answer all those questions, so I'll just be honest, right? But I know what the text says right in front of us. It says that God has entrusted this message of reconciliation to Paul, and Paul says that he shares that with the Corinthian church, and there's a way in which what this means is God knows that you and I need each other to tell each other in God's name as an ambassador of Jesus, you need me to tell you, you must be reconciled to Jesus. And God actually will speak through me to you to do that. And vice versa. I need you to tell that to me too, okay? And one of the reasons we build pulpits like this one, which is beautiful, and put the Word of God up here and have times in worship services. Did you notice this sermon happens every week, right? You never really get around it, right? It's because as Presbyterians especially, although other Christians as well, we realize that we must hear, as Christians, from the Word of God, another human being come and tell us, God loves you. And you know what this text says? This text says, ambassador. We are Christ's ambassadors, God's ambassadors. You know what an ambassador is, right? If our ambassador goes to Australia When he speaks to the president of Australia, it is as if, who is speaking? The president of the United States. It is as if the president is speaking in Australia. Now, it is wild and crazy that God makes human beings his ambassadors, but he has. And we can really mess that up sometimes, right? There's some preachers that say ridiculous things. But right now, standing on the authority of the Word of God, having driven up here this morning, I had my coffee, I got my tie on. I have a tie on? Yes. I walked up these stairs, and I am coming to tell you that God wants you to know that he wants to be with you. He wants to be in your life. That he loves you. God is telling you that through my words right now. Other thoughts banging around in your head? Yes, maybe those are from God too. We don't know. But I know right now, he sent me here to tell you that he loves you. He has, from the beginning of the world until now, been chasing you, and he will continue to chase you relentlessly. He'll keep bothering you, right? As you run away to other places, as you go in and out of doubt, he loves you. I am not a special preacher because I came here to tell you that. The text leans on it, so that's why I emphasize it today. But I need to hear that too. God's after me. God loves me. And in Jesus Christ, he has forgiven my sins, not counting my sins against me. And he has now thrust himself into my life in such a way that I'm a new creation. That is the truth about you, my friend. I may not have met you, but I know that is his intent and his purpose and what he is doing in your life based on the authority of this word to us today. And so, God rest ye merry gentlemen and women. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. Tidings of comfort and joy. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And I ask now that through your Holy Spirit, you would confirm your word in our lives. Lord Jesus Christ, we need you, and we thank you that you have given yourself to us. We look for you, Lord, and we take comfort and joy this Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.